Moray v'raboisai, lessons from the lay. Parshas Chukas, we are going to discuss a topic that hopefully will help you be better counselors this year in the Beis Medrash program of Camp Mesora HaBa'alein Latova. This topic is seeing the good in everyone and yourself. This is a great topic, number one, to get us started, not just for guys that have been in Israel for the year or 2 years, and are coming back and kind of realizing who are they, what are they, but anybody who is going away for the summer and they have to question, well, what am I going to do with my free time? So we're going to discuss that as well. At the end of the parsha, somewhat end of the parsha, we learn of the death of Miriam. And in Perek Chaf, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda, and everybody goes Midbar Sin, b'chodesh harishon v'yoshev ha'am, and they stand and they write Batamat Sham Miriam. Miriam passes away. Good beginning. Then the pasuk says, "V'lo hayamayim la'ida." Some relationship between Miriam and her death that there was no water. Vayikalu el Moshe v'kolam. The Bnei Yisrael loved. They complained. They said, "Where's the water? What's going on?" So Rashi picks up on this. And Rashi says, well, what's going on over here? So first of all, it says that Miriam passes away. So Rashi comments, by talking about Miriam, Afshihi binishika misa, right? There are different types of death that a person could have, right? And we could argue what's better, but it's called something called nishika mita. Nishika mita means when a person just drops dead, that's it, right? I have a friend a few weeks ago, unfortunately, their father passed away. It wasn't sick, wasn't nothing. All of a sudden, they get a phone call in the middle of the day. Your father passed away. You know, the Levi is tomorrow. You better get here. They live in Israel. So that's called Neshika Misa. It's considered to be a bracha, as opposed to a long disease that a person has that takes weeks. Now, we know that Avram Avinu actually was asked the Rabbono Sholom that apparently in the times, that's what the Midrash tells us, an interesting Midrash, that how do people die? Does anybody know? How do people die in the olden days? Avraham Avinu time?
Sneeze,
right? They would sneeze and die, right? That's why you say, apparently, that's why we say, Gesundheit, God bless you. Because, wow, I can't believe you're living now, right? So, I don't know if you've ever seen some people sneeze, like, they like look like they're like, ah, you know, they fall on the floor. Okay, that's, okay, apparently you used to die from that. I don't know. So, Avraham Avinu requested that there be a longer, right? And we know, unfortunately, today, sometimes that lasts quite long. Says Rashi, there was a Neshika Misa, she passed away like this. It's been very difficult for the family. On the other hand, there's no suffering involved in it. Mibnei ma lo nemrabo al pnei Hashem, sheino derech kavod al malo v'aru nemra al pnei Hashem. He asks, why does it say that way? Why is it that? And then he says, then Rashi says, below, he asks, why does it say al kol pi kol eida, the other one shall covered for Aaron and Moshe. Below hayamayim leida. Mikan shekol arbim shana hayalahem habeer. There was a be'er. Guys, they were in the Midbar. 40 years in the Midbar. Guess what's not in the Midbar? Water. There was this mysterious be'er. Well, bizchus Miriam and her zchus. Very nice Rashi. Gemara in Tanis tells us this. So, question is, what does that mean? Why was she zoicher to this bear? So before that, I just want to get back to the first Rashi, which I didn't read, where he asked, Lama Nisvachal Parshas, why is the Parsha of Miriam next to the Parsha of Paraduma? Of course, is the bulk of our Parsha. Lomar lach, ma korbanos mechaperim, just like a korban is mechaper, the Paraduma is mechaper for a person who is metame, so too. Ach, Misa Sadiqim Mechaperet. Gemara Mord Katan, famous Gemara Mord Katan, Daf Pechas, says the Misa of Sadiq is Mechaperet. This is a very interesting question. Why exactly this? I think it's a Torah Tamila who says something fascinating. I always would read this Rashi and not understand this Rashi. Right? It's a nice thing you say at Levaya. You know, this week, Rav Mendel Zlotowitz passed away a few days ago. He was the founder of Art School. What he did for the world, you know, without him, it's hard to believe in America, you know, what would be. And Art School really opened up the world. actually have some issues with it. You'll hear my pet peeves later in the year. Specifically, their autobiographies of the great Gedolim, who, you know, when they were 3 years old, they were, they knew all of Shas. And if somebody was a little bit off the derech when he was 5, he only knew Shas, you know, Nebuch, and he wrote his first book when he was 18 instead of 16. Okay, fine. So, right, because he went to DRS instead, whatever, fine. So, in any case, what does it mean? So I think it's a Torah to me, but it says something fascinating, right? What does it mean? You go to the Leviathan, you say, the Misa is like Mechaperes for us, oh, it's so great. So he says, the Torah to me, it says something beautiful. He says that it's the actions of the Tzaddik that we come to the Leviathan and we say to ourselves, wow, I could do a little bit. I could do something at least. I can't believe all those things those people accomplished. I did nothing. I want to be better. I want to do something. It's the facts. Torah Tumim also says the kavod of going to it, of going there. There's a kapara because we're showing kavod to a gadol. But I think the concept is also that. The concept is also that a person goes ahead and recognizes, when you go to a levaya, the good things. I don't think anybody here has been to a levaya where they say bad things about the person, right? I was the only one, I think. I once went to a levaya in Nebuch, I promise it's true, when I was in Hafter. A lot of stories about that later. And so I was in Hafter, and my friend in my class, his father passed away, Nebuch. So we went to the levaya, and it probably was my first levaya. I think it was in fifth grade. My first levaya, maybe. And so I didn't know what to expect. And the rabbi got up, and the rabbi said, right, let's just make up, the guy's name was David. And he says, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. David wasn't a good guy. I was like, what? I read Leviah. He goes, listen, people didn't get along with him. You know, it's hard to, and I'm like, wow, this is a Leviah. This is awesome. You know, can you imagine this? You know, it's like, this is like what I want to do on Facebook all the time when people post things. I want to like really say what I want to think. Like, no, you actually don't look good in that dress. I don't know why you posted this. You're an ugly person. You can't do that. So, whatever. And he went on. He had a vort. He's going to say, yeah, but that's what people thought. But on the outside, he was hard. But on the inside, he had a heart of gold. He really was a nice guy. Once saw him cross an old lady across the street. I don't know. But we generally get some sort of, and that's a very important thing. In camp, it's also important in every situation that you guys are in to look at the positive. People feed, based on peer pressure, people feed on that big time. Okay? And therefore, when you go into lunch, okay, and they're serving, you know, something that's less than good, edible, whatever it might be, if the counselor's the one who says, oh, this is, all the guys are going to feed on that big time, especially teens. So you got to be very careful. And the same thing is with positive enforcement. If you're like, wow, that was a great tish. Wasn't that great? That was a great shir. And the guy says, yeah. Or you encourage somebody, they feed upon that. But let's get to our Iker question, Rashi's question over here. Rashi said, oh yeah, Bear Miriam, why was Miriam Zaycha to it? Why? What did Miriam do? So, this is for a candy. Can anybody tell me what they think? This is, you're allowed to talk now. What was the connection between Miriam and water? Yes, sir. Beautiful. Did you see that somewhere or you just guessed it?
No, I saw it somewhere.
You saw it somewhere. Remember where?
Somewhere.
Beautiful. So, say better. Go ahead. Tell us the whole story.
There's the water, and then she waited there, and she walked
off. Of course, I don't have any candy. But
took her from the river, and because of that, she was so
beautiful.
Beautiful.
So, the most simple level interpretation is that she had a connection to water. Because Miriam was the one, by the way, she did not follow... Rightfully so, but she didn't follow the instructions of her mother. My mother just said, see him off. She said, I can't see him off. In fact, it's interesting, if I'm not mistaken, I am not mistaken, of course, I'm just being like I'm smart. I'd rather hard to know that. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was in it, right, it says, right, the Hanar Boche, that Batya heard a baby crying. The word Nar is what? What does Nar mean?
Young lad.
Young lad doesn't mean baby. Who is the young lad? No. Have not to be. The Midrash says that it was Aaron. Aaron saw his brother crying and he started crying. Imagine this great family. She didn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu crying. She heard a baby crying. She looked in the river and saw Moses. So Miriam, obviously, the zchus, she stood there. She stayed by the water. And we know this. You know, water plays this big role. Moshe Rabbeinu then doesn't want to do the makkah on the water because he was saved by the water. Moshe's name is Moshe, which is strange because it's a quote-unquote goyish name. He had many other names, Avigdor, Tuvia, right? Because Mayim Shisihu. That would be the simple level. Yes, sir?
Doesn't the Gemara in Sota say that Miriam's...
I didn't know there was a Gemara called Sota.
That the
Chos
Miriam got for waiting was that they started waiting for her
when she... Oh, very good. Yeah, sure. There's Gemara in Sota a few weeks ago from our Parsha, correct? Right? From Parsha's... we see that in fact Miriam gets Saras and the Machan is supposed to leave. And the Machan doesn't leave. The Gemara says correctly, the Gemara says that she had the Zchus of waiting. So you're saying she had more Zchuyas. Possibly. Yep. But I want to go a little bit deeper into this. That's nice. It's cute. It's wonderful. And I want to share you something that Rav Soloveitchik says. Rav Yosef Soloveitchik gives the following comparison. I saw this. From Rabbi Joshua Hoffman. Rabbi Hoffman, unfortunately, passed away a few weeks ago. He was somebody that was together in shir with me in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's shir. He was a very unique individual. Rabbi Hoffman tells a story about Rav Soloveitchik told him. I don't know where exactly this is written. He said that he was overwhelmed when he went swimming in the Baltic Sea. Many of you, I'm sure, have gone swimming in the Baltic Sea. And he would go swimming in the sea. Maybe you guys will go in the, you know, go in the lake. And you go and you look around. And you say, "Wow, Marabu Masecha Hashem. Look at this." And the way that, you know, only the Rav can explain it like this. And I saw the water, and the water reminded me, Donim Elayam, reminded me of the Rakia. And then I looked up at the Rakia, and it reminded me of the Kisi Akava, right? So Tchelis. Reminded me, and every time I would go in and I would swim, and I'd go, "Wow, look at this huge ball, look at this huge sea, wowee, look how amazing it is, look at Marabu Masech Hashem." And then the Rav says, and after a few months, I cooled off. What does it mean he cooled off? I was barely moved by the fact that I'm in this large sea, Rakia, Yam, the whole thing wore off. And Rav Soloveitchik continued, and he said, "It reminded me of the fact that I didn't appreciate water, and it reminds me, of course, of the Gemara that tells us about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Misha Lo Ra, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, learning about Simcha Leolam, if you didn't see this, what was so good about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What happened there at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Nowadays, we think Simchas Beis HaShoeva, go to my Rebbe's house, we're going to have children there, there's going to be, you know, okay. But what was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What was so, the central part of it was actually something called the Nisach HaMayim. Right? The water drawing ceremony. Doesn't sound too interesting to me. What was it? So the Gemara explains that what was the simcha in the water drawing? So one was on the Gemara says, the simple level, that there was simcha, that the water would be used throughout the year for water libations, for kabanos, and the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara says something strange, and he says, and the second reason was, the water, those that were there, who understood the water, so they got Ruach HaKodesh. And the Medrash brings a raya from this, by the way. And the Medrash says, Yonah became a Navi because he went to a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's funny because a lot of Yonah's life, you know, that we know of, you think about the water. You think Yonah and the water. So Soloveitchik says, oh, he's like, Machlok is in the Gemara, 2 days. He says, no, it's the same day. It says, those that appreciate what water is, those that would go and see the simplicity, in fact, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his brother, my Rebbe, has this in his Sefer, and he talks about water and the simplicity and why Simchas Beis HaShoeva was just a simcha, because it was people appreciating what we can't live out, which is water. And we don't think about it. Now, I have to tell you, I'm coming from Eretz Yisrael. The amount of rain I've seen in the 2 days that I've been in Camp Masorah is the entire rainfall for the entire state of Israel the entire year, right? And at least Baruch Hashem, the only positive here is that I don't have to, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're really not supposed to say, "Oh God, it's raining. I hate that." Right? You're not. Remember, who spoke about Rav Machlis? Remember?
Probably.
No, who spoke about Rav Machlis at the...
Yeah.
So someone spoke about it at our Mesibat Siyum. Somebody spoke about one of our wonderful Rabbeim, if you ever know Rav Machlis. Rav Machlis told a story, a guy, you know, Rav Machlis is just a tzaddik, they call him the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. And so there's a Talmud, he goes up to the Talmud, he says, "How you doing?" He says, "How you doing? How am I going to be doing? It's pouring outside." He says, "I know! You were so lucky, rain of Eretz Yisrael." This guy was obviously in a bad mood. We don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Here, it rains, you're allowed to, you know, okay, I told you about positive, you know, don't tell your campers that. But in your mind, you can be like, you know, another day. Or you could be my wife, who's the assistant head of the waterfront, and goes, "Yes, rain, baby! Yes! Yeah, you don't have to do anything today." Okay. So, by the way, there's no shear when it's raining, because I can't walk from... No, fine. So, what does this mean for us? Why would you get Ruach HaKodesh as a stage before Nevuah? Why? It's very simple. Because Ruach HaKodesh means what? You appreciate the simplicity, the little things in life that the Rabbanu Shalom gives us. And that explains who Miriam really was. What is the name that the Torah gives Miriam when we first meet her? Anybody know? She has a name. Pua. Why was her name Pua? My kids never believed me when I said this.
She would poo the baby.
She would poo the babies. She would poo them. She would poo, 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 poo. And the Mitzrim saw this. The Mitzrim gave her their name. And her mother's was Shifra. Same thing. Why would they give in the name? Why would they give in a Mitzri name like Moshe was? Because they appreciated the little things. Says Rav Yerucham Yulavavitz, the famed Mashiach of the Mir Yeshiva. He says, "Yeah, that was the great schus." The Torah said, "No, we're going to give them, quote unquote, these guyish names because she took the little babies and she realized how difficult their lives are going to be now in Mitzrayim, and she kept them alive. The simplicity is what she realized. That was the schus of Miriam. Miriam's schus was very simple. It was the schus of what? Recognizing the little things in life, recognizing Mayim." I apologize, I don't remember the story perfectly. But there's this ridiculous story that I saw about a guy goes to the DMV, maybe, possibly even here, somewhere in upstate New York. No Jews there. And he's waiting online. I don't know if you guys have had this experience yet. This is the reason why I don't have a license in America anymore, because when my license was expiring, I don't know, like 6 years ago, so one Friday, I'm like, "Oh, great, I'm off today. I'll go to the DMV." Right? DMV is the word. I don't know what exactly happened since I left, but I went to Lodi.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a line around the place, right? I parked my car. I went in line. And the officer that was there said, "This is the line to get a number to go on the other line." You know? So I was like, "I'm going to be late for Shabbos. I have to make Shabbos in Lodi." So I didn't go. So this guy's waiting on this long line in the DMV. And any of you that was in Walmart yesterday, so Mahadrim and Mahadrim, the Gentile nation was coming out in its great beauty with the tattoos and the whole thing. Right? Yesterday we went to Walmart, so my very frum kid, little Avishai, all about 5 years old, was like dumbfounded. He's looking around. He goes, "But what is going on here? Everybody's got paintings on their body. You know, we don't have this in our just paintings and whatever." Fine. Shiloh got Mishama Brios, make the bracha or not. Anyway, fine. So, this guy's there, there's all these different people. He's wearing a yarmulke. And he goes, and this big guy comes up to him, one of these biker dudes. He goes, "Hey, you Jew?" He's like, "Oh, here we go, you know? News at 11. Here it comes." And he's like, "No, I'm just wearing this beanie hat because..." No, I didn't say it. He's like, "Here comes a horn." He's going to say, "Can I see your horn?" Something like that, yeah. He says, "I want to show you something." He takes his fist. You know what's coming up, right? Here he comes. And he's getting ready. So he takes and he starts undoing his shirt. He's like, "Yeah, this is when the guy gets ready for the punch." And he's got a huge tattoo on his forearm. And in Hebrew it says Mayim. Mayim. That's what it says. Mem, Yud, Mem. Kedarko probably says menu without Mem Sophie because like they don't know anything. So he says, "You know what this says? You know what this says?" So he's like, "Yeah. Do you know what it says?" He goes, "Yep." He says, "It's Kabbalistic. It says mine." That's Kabbalistic. It's the name of God in this world is this. And the guy said, the heck? This guy's telling over the story. He's like, I'm not going to be the one to tell him that that's not Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not Shem Elokim. Literally, it says Mayim on it. What is he talking about? And the person who writes this says, maybe whoever told him this Bubba Maisa, maybe it wasn't. Maybe this is the Yisod. Water is everything. Water is recognizing who we are and what we should be. You have a great opportunity this summer. And we spoke about it very briefly 2 days ago. And it's very hard for you to understand what I'm saying because you might not believe in yourself. It sounds like simplicity, but that simplicity gave Miriam and Bnei Yisrael a be'er for 40 years because she recognized the little things in life. Your ability to lead, to inspire, to literally change the life of a teenager is tremendous. And it can happen in a day, it could happen in a week, it could happen in 7 weeks. But you got to believe in yourself. And you got to believe that you can do that. When we started off with the Rashi, Misas, Sadikim, Mechaperes, it's because we recognize that we got to be better people. I don't care if you came home from Israel, you didn't come home from Israel, you didn't. Your summer has to be, I want to be a better person. That better person, yes, is that you made a decision, some of you, a few of you didn't, but now you made the decision, that I'm going to be a different counselor than the rest of the counselors on the campus. I'm going to be involved in learning. And the whole concept of this tachlis is that other campers will see and say, I don't understand. My counselor has the ability now to be sleeping in his bed, to be talking to his girlfriend at the canteen. And he chooses not to do that and goes to learn this Torah thing. And they, what is this? Tell me more about it. Now for me, he's a rabbi. He's got to learn Torah. That's what he's getting paid for here. So much money. But, that's not a lot of money. But, betachlis, that's what you guys are about. You're the role models. And we created this program because they're looking at people like you who went to the high schools they went to and said, wow, that's the way I could be. I could be cool and care about davening. And it's not just in the Beis Medrash. It's going to be in Avodas Hashem, right? It's going to be in how you conduct yourself for the three tefillahs of the day. And as much as we don't want to show them negativity, we might, in a positive way, and say, you know, davening could be a lot better. You know? And again, when you get close to guys, maybe, you know, davening with your shorts on, maybe we can move, not to Hecha Kedusha, I don't know, just things I like to hawk about in the camp. Maybe we could, whatever it might be. And they see that you treat davening seriously, they want to treat it seriously. That's what we should be zoicha for. And with that, I think you'll see only positive bracha in your success in what you do.